Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Well, Saints, it's another year, and I can only mean one thing. Our salvation is closer than when we first believed. And as such, it's necessary that in these last days, we are mindful of the way that we walk.
Yes.
My burden this evening is there's a plot twist in walking. A plot twist in walking. In the sixth song, Proverbs, verse 6, scripture say here, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, and be wise."
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that for many of us, that when we look at this verse, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, and be wise."
Right.
We kind of look at it as if the Lord is saying, the ant is diligent, and you're lazy.
Yeah.
But there's more to it than that. It says, consider her ways.
Yes.
Have you ever considered the way of the ant? It feels to me that if God wants us to look at this verse, and it, spiritually speaking, take a magnifying glass and look at the way the ant moves and how they walk. They've done studies on the nature of the ant, and what they did is they took experiments where they took these little ants and they modified their legs and to see if they would go out and get the food. And when they modify and shrink these legs, the ant comes short. But then they change things up and then they put these artificial stilts. Imagine ants walking on stilts. And they see if they're going to come out there and get the food. And what happened? They overshoot the food. How the ants walk, they count their steps. The Lord wants us to be go to the ant and consider her ways and be wise. It is imperative for us in these last days to be cautious of how we walk.
Yes.
And much as that, I want to speak tonight that there is a plot twist in walking. Fifth chapter of Ephesians. Chapter 5 is fine. It says, "Be ye," plural, ye, everyone. "Be ye, therefore, follower of God, as dear children." That's who we're walking after.
Yes.
"And walk in love, as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling Savior." That's how we ought to walk.
Yes.
In love, just as Christ has loved us.
Yeah.
But notice here, the admonition here, it says to walk in love, and the natural man thinks it's some kind of romantic, erotic love. So immediately, the Apostle Paul rebuked that. And he said, verse 3, "But fornication, and all uncleanness, and covetousness, and let not be named among you, as becometh saints."
Yes.
And he goes on to rebuke all sorts of sexual immorality. The love that we are to walk in is not a natural man's love. It is agape. It's the love of God. That's who we're walking after. It's a walk of love. And after he rebuked all these carnal, natural ways in which man endeavored to walk in love and sexual immorality, we pick up verse 8. It say, "For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." That's another manner by which we walk, is in the light. What did the Word of God say? "Thy word is a light unto my path, and a lamp unto my feet."
Yes.
We are to walk in the light and the reality and the truth of the Word of God. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever thou didst make it manifest is light. Wherefore he said, Awake, thou that sleepest. You know the slugger, when they don't consider the way of the ant, that's what they're doing. They're sleeping. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, notice here in verse 15, the Apostle Paul said, See ye then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Do you understand what time it is? We're in the last days. All the signs are there.
Yes.
Wickedness is abound. The love of many has grown cold.
Yes.
Good is evil and evil is good.
Right.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord is. I want to make it clear with this verse here. The will of the Lord in this context of this epistle here, it's not who you're going to marry. It's not what job you're going to have. It's not where you're going to retire. It's not if Hawaii is in the future for you. The context he's talking about here is that we redeem the time, we understand what the will of God is, and that he is doing something big. And that is he's saving humanity. So we are to look in that context of God's will for humanity and walk circumspectly. And then he said, Be not drunken with wine, wherein is excess, and be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. We read this passage, and what we see here, the Apostle Paul highlights for us the walk that we ought to have as followers of God. The first thing is walk in love, then he rebuked the carnal way by which man tried to walk in that love with sexual immorality. And then he tells you the second thing is walk as children of light, not in darkness, but in light, in the realities, in the truth that's revealed. And the final thing he said, redeeming the time, walk circumspectly.
Yes.
You find it interesting that he concluded this, he added this 18th verse in there, be not drunk with wine, which is excess.
Mm-hmm.
It would be inconsistent for the Apostle Paul to make it sound like as if wine is a bad thing here. We know that's not true because in his letter to his thaw disciple Timothy, he said, have a little wine for your stomach. So for Paul to write to the church of Ephesians that Timothy would later, 3 years later, be the pastor of, and tell the Ephesians, don't drink wine, but then he goes on and he tells Timothy, the future pastor, you can have a little wine, that's hypocrisy. So what is Paul trying to get here? He's rebuking a false worship, a pagan worship of that was prevalent in the culture of the Ephesians during this time. And for them, there's this festival, they call it the Bacchus Festival. And when that festival takes place in Ephesia, the philosopher Plato said, during those days, you will never find a single man that is sober when they are worshiping Bacchus during this false pagan worship. Paul is rebuking that practice in this verse here. He's saying, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The emphasis on this verse is not the wine, it's the Spirit. Because in those days, for those men to get drunk with wine, the alcohol then is not as strong as it is today. So for them to get drunk, they have to spend literally hours, cup after cup after cup, to get drunk. So the emphasis is they're wasting their time. they're filling themselves with something that is not going to satisfy them. Paul is saying, don't do that. Fill yourself with something that's going to satisfy you. Fill yourself with the Spirit of God. That's how we are to walk in these last days, in the Spirit of God. Go to the end and consider her ways and be wise. Let us watch and count our steps. And make sure that it is a walk that's in love. A love that is consistent with the love that Christ showed humanity. Make sure we walk in light of the Word of God. A reality and truth that's revealed to us by the prophet and the Spirit of God. Let us walk in the Spirit of God. Now, I want to get a little technical with that concept. When it comes to the Spirit of God, there's three things you need to know. There is the baptism of the Spirit, by which when you confess faith in Jesus Christ, you are baptized into the body by one Spirit. Then there is the receiving of the Spirit that Brother James preached on Wednesday, that you may live set, that you may live for the gospel, that you may live for the mission of God. But there's also the day-to-day filling of the Spirit that every Christian needs in order to live a holy life. We constantly need that refilling of the Spirit in our life. You can't do it apart from the Spirit of God. That's what these altars are for. So you come and you get that filling. You get that renewal. You get that strengthening, that quickening of the Holy Spirit in your walk. I find it interesting. In verse 19, it says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymn and spiritual song. That's one way you get filled with the Spirit, you know. Yeah. Have you ever had a moment when you sing and the lyric, the hymn reaches you and teaches you and it hits you in a way as if to remind you of your testimony. Remind you how God came into your life the first time. And if your light opens up and you saw God is there for the first time. And there was a skip in your step. Have you ever sang songs during the service and had those moments? And your spirit opens up and your heart is ready to engage and be with the rhythm of the Holy Spirit? That's what our song service is for. That we prepare our heart to receive, and so we can walk in the Spirit of God. I'm a little nervous about going to this next passage, because sometimes when you touch on the end time, people are going to wonder, is this guy legit? But I want to turn to the 17th chapter of Luke. Verse 26, Luke 17, 26. Jesus make mention of what life will be like, what the condition of man will be like in the last days. He said, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them. You notice the three things that man was doing during the day of Noah? They were getting married. They were drinking. They were eating. That's how man will walk apart from God. They're constantly marrying. They're looking for love. They're trying to walk in love. They're trying to walk in love the way that their natural man know how. And that's marriage. We look around the world today. What do you see? Divorce is 53% divorce rate. Humanity is looking for love. They're not realizing that the love they seek is found in God. Yeah. Mankind is looking for love. In the days of Noah. And the next thing they did, they were eating. They're trying to satisfy their spiritual man with consumption of material things. But us, as Christians, what feeds our soul? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is the light unto our feet. A lamb unto our path. That is what we need to consume in these days. It is the milk of the Word that we need. It is He is the bread of life that feeds our soul. And it is the deep meat of the Word of God that we need to enter in to understand. Young people, how much are you feasting of this? God, help us. There is the sincere milk of the Word. You can drink that. You can subsist on that. But it will not satisfy you. You need the bread of life. And more so, you need the strong meat of the Word of God. God, help our young people to drink milk, eat of bread, and enjoy strong meat of the Word of God. That's the condition. You look out there. I was looking at the statistics, and did you know that the alcohol consumption has doubled in the last decade? Man is constantly looking for something to fill him, to give him an alternative experience in life, and an alternative reality. But there's only one thing in the world that can give you an alternative to life that is wholesome and godly and pleasing with God. And that is the Spirit of God. We need to fill ourselves with the Spirit of God. What does that mean? Practically speaking, we need to sing more. We need to praise Jesus more. We need to give glory to God more. We need to sing hymns and giving thanks unto God so that His Spirit would align with our spirit and our heart open up to Him and we start to beat with the rhythm of that He beats. And we understand what the will of God is for humanity. And then all of our plans, all our vision, all of our ambitions become peripheral to His purpose. They become peripheral to His calling. They become peripheral to loving man and loving God. Where we at? Let us consider the way of the ends and be wise. Count your step. Count your step. There's a plot twist in walking. You remember when the disciple came up to Jesus and said, Lord, and this is James and John, and they said, Lord, can you make one of us on your left and one of us on your right? And Jesus said, are you ready to be baptized at the baptism that I am baptized? God will put you in His left and His right, but the condition is, are you ready to be baptized with the baptism that He is baptized? When we read that text, we don't know what He's talking about, but later on in the epistle, we find out the baptism of Jesus, it's a call to death. It's a baptism of death. It is one of denying yourself. It is one of denying your ambition. It is denying your desire to be thought much of. That His purpose be accomplished, that His will be done in your life. It's a baptism of death. That is the plot twist in walking. Yeah. Romans chapter 6. I'm just going to read verse 4. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Do you know that? Verse 4, therefore, young people, when you read the writing of Paul and you see the word therefore, stop and ask the question, what is that therefore? Therefore. It's highly advanced Bible skill. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in newness of life. That is the baptism of Jesus Christ. That is the plot twist in walking, is that we die to ourselves and be alive in Jesus Christ to a new life. One that rebukes the old ways of walking of the old man. One that seeks not to walk in darkness, but in the light of the Word of God. One that does not walk in the flesh, listen to discover a new experience with substance. But one that seeks the Spirit of God, to be led of His Spirit. That is the plot twist in walking in these last days. You know the funny thing about the ants? How they understand what they need to do and what their task is for the kingdom in their colony is they receive an audible voice from the queen. We need to follow the voice of the Lord. Yeah. And when they hear this voice, they recognize it and they go out. And when they go out, they count their steps. They're careful of how they walk. Otherwise, they're going to miss the food. Yes. Don't let anybody alter your step. Don't let anyone add on to it. Don't let anyone take away from your step. You walk in faith. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, where it says, therefore, as he received the law, so walk ye in him. How did you receive the law? How I receive the law? We receive the law by the according to faith. I didn't earn this. You didn't earn this. I didn't qualify for this. You didn't qualify for this. It was based on his performance. It's based on his merit. It's based on his qualification. So as you receive the law by faith, walk ye in him. It's simple. We trust him. We trust the law. We walk according to his law. We walk according to his spirit. That's the plot twist in walking. The natural man cannot understand this. They seek after carnal love, romantic love, passionate love, and they fall short of agape. They're feeding themselves food. I live in Portland. It's a big, big food town. Everybody's trying out new recipes. But we are to consume the nourishment and the nutrients of the Word of God. We don't fill ourselves with external substance to try to conjure up an alternative to life, to get a different perspective on our problem, to make it go away. We seek the Spirit of God for our problem. That's where we experience an alternative to life. Scripture say what? The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's how we walk. Let us consider the way of the ants and be wise. Count your steps. Now, ask these ants, as they're walking, it's funny, in the insect kingdom, there's this phenomenon where there's these creepy crawlers that will sneak into the colony of the ants. And they've done experiments, and what they found is that these creepy crawler can mimic the voice of the queen. God help us to recognize the voice of the Lord. God help us. And what these creepy crawlers do is they mimic this audible. And then the next thing you know, these little ants start following the instruction of this guy. And he's fed. The food's going to him, not the larva. And the colony dies. God help us. Whose voice are we hearing these days? May it be the Spirit of God. May it be from the Word of God. May it be found in the love of God. Anything that's inconsistent and deviate from those things, you're walking after a creepy crawler. God help us. But you know what? Despite that, there is a promise of God that we can hold on to. Turn with me to Joel, Old Testament, chapter 2. Anyone ever get lost in the minor prophets? Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Thank you. Here's a promise of God that says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, and the cankerworms, and the caterpillar, and the paperworm, my great army which I sent among you. God can restore that which the creepy crawler has deprived us of. If we would seek Him. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed in these last days. Because our God will restore to us all the things that was once lost. He can restore. So verse in the Old Testament says, what more do I desire of thee, that you walk humbly before your God? God help us to consider the ways of the ant, count our step, and walk humbly with the Lord our God, that we may be found as the Ephesians chapter declare, follower of God as dear children. God help us. Amen.